Silas awoke with a start, feeling a sudden and unexpected weariness. Standing, wearing only his undergarments, Silas walked to the window. Was I followed? Peering out, he saw the faint outline of a blue sedan through the hedge. On the sedan's roof was a siren. A floorboard creaked in the hallway. A door latch moved. Silas reacted on instinct, surging across the room and sliding to a stop just behind the door as it crashed open. The first officer stormed through. Before he realized where Silas was, Silas had thrown his shoulder into the door, crushing a second officer as he came through, then went clambering over the body into the hall. Almost naked, Silas hurled his pale body down the long switchback staircase. When he reached the foyer, more officers were surging through the front door. Silas turned the other way and dashed deeper into the residence hall. Winding down narrow hallways, Silas ran into a dark hallway near the boiler room. He saw an exit light gleaming at the end. Running full speed through the door out into the rain, Silas leapt off a low landing, not seeing the officer coming the other way until it was too late. The two men collided, Silas's broad, naked shoulder grinding into the man's sternum with crushing force. He drove the officer backwards onto the pavement. The officer's gun clattered away. Silas could hear men running down the hall, shouting. Rolling, he grabbed the loose gun just as the officers emerged. A shot rang out on the stairs, and Silas felt a searing pain below his ribs. Filled with rage, he opened fire at all three officers, their blood spraying. A dark shadow loomed behind, coming out of nowhere. The angry hands that grabbed at his bare shoulders felt like they were infused with the power of the devil himself. The man roared in his ear, "Silas, no!" Silas spun and fired. Their eyes met. Silas was already screaming in horror as Bishop Aringarosa fell. More than 3,000 people are entombed or enshrined within Westminster Abbey, but Robert Langdon felt no interest in any of them, save one, Sir Isaac Newton. Hurrying through the grand portico on the north transept, Langdon and Sophie were met by guards who politely ushered them through the Abbey's newest addition, a large walk-through metal detector, now present in most historic buildings in London. Stepping across the threshold into Westminster Abbey, Langdon felt the outside world evaporate with a sudden hush.
"It's practically empty," Sophie whispered.
Langdon felt disappointed. He had hoped for a lot more people. He had been anticipating a certain feeling of security in the popular tourist destination, but Langdon's recollections of bustling throngs in a well-lit abbey had been during peak summer tourist season. Today was a rainy March morning.
"We passed through metal detectors," Sophie reminded,
apparently sensing Langdon's apprehension.
"If anyone is in here, they can't be armed."
Langdon nodded, but still felt circumspect. He had wanted to bring the London police with them, but Sophie's fears of who might be involved put a damper on any contact with the authorities.
"We need to recover the cryptex," Sophie had insisted. "It is the key to everything."
She was right, of course. The key to getting Lee back alive. The key to finding the Holy Grail. The key to learning who is behind this. Unfortunately, their only chance to recover the keystone seemed to be here and now, at the tomb of Isaac Newton. Whoever held the cryptex would have to pay a visit to the tomb to decipher the final clue, and if they had not already come and gone, Sophie and Langdon intended to intercept them.
"Which way is it?"
Sophie asked, looking around. The tomb. Langdon had no idea. "We should find a docent and ask. They wear crimson robes." At that moment, 100 yards down the nave, out of sight behind the choir screen, the stately tomb of Sir Isaac Newton had a lone visitor. The teacher had been scrutinizing the monument for 10 minutes now. Newton's tomb consisted of a massive black marble sarcophagus on which reclined the sculpted form of Sir Isaac Newton wearing classical costume and leaning proudly against a stack of his own books. Divinity, Chronology, Optics, and Philosophia Naturalis Principia Mathematica. At Newton's feet stood 2 winged boys holding a scroll. Behind Newton's recumbent body rose an austere pyramid. Although the pyramid itself seemed an oddity, it was the giant shape mounted halfway up the pyramid that most intrigued the teacher.
"An orb."
The teacher pondered Sonnier's beguiling riddle.
"You seek the orb that ought be on his tomb."
The massive orb protruding from the face of the pyramid was carved in basso relievo and depicted all kinds of heavenly bodies, constellations, signs of the zodiac, comets, stars, and planets. Above it, the image of the goddess of astronomy beneath a field of stars.
Countless orbs.
The teacher had been convinced that once he found the tomb, discerning the missing orb would be easy. Now he was not so sure. He was gazing at a complicated map of the heavens.
Was there a missing planet? Had some astronomical orb been omitted from a constellation?
He had no idea. He stepped closer to the tomb, scanning it from bottom to top.
What orb ought to be here, and yet is missing? Only 5 letters separate me from the Grail.